Welcome to Hellbent, a feminist podcast for those who resist and persist. I'm Varsha.
And I'm Devin. And today on the pod, we are going to really be focusing on voter suppression that is happening all over the country. We are 21 days to the midterms, and this is unlike... No, it's not unlike anything we've seen before, but it feels so raw right now. And the blatant ways that Republicans are trying to take voter rights away from people has been very disheartening in a lot of ways. But we'll get into a whole discussion about that. We're also going to talk a little bit about Elizabeth Warren. Look, I'm really angry at men in general, but that does not excuse Elizabeth Warren and her... We're going to talk about it. Look, you know, we're going to talk about it. But first, we're recording on a Tuesday morning because Varsha just got back from Vienna. Yeah. And Varsha, what were you doing in Vienna?
I was at a conference, a history conference about the Cold War and the transfer of technology, and everyone was presenting papers on like East-West stuff about the Cold War. And I went and presented a paper about dams in India in the Global South. And it was really cool because there's no one on this show will really know, but like there was a professor there, Professor Westad from Harvard, and he is one of my many heroes. And he was there and he was like, "Varsha, your paper is good." And I lost my shit. It was great.
Oh, rockstar historian.
It was great. It was like a rockstar historian. It was like if you like, let's just make this politically relevant. It was like if you won your house campaign in 21 days and Barack Obama called you up and was like, "Hey, good campaign. You really inspired people there."
Look, there's a lot going on in this upcoming midterm election. We have been talking about voting rights. We're going to be talking about voting rights on this episode. And it is so important to get involved. It is so important that progressives win back the House. If progressive candidates win in just 23 swing districts on November 6th, we can take back a majority of the House of Representatives and put a check on Trump and the regressive administration supporting him. Not to mention the fact that the conservative Congress has not even bothered to pretend to put a check on him. And that is why nearly 500,000 people have signed up to volunteer with Swing Left. When you join Swing Left at swingleft.org/hellbent, you'll be immediately connected with other volunteers in your area who are working to win the race in a nearby swing district. You'll find out where and how you can make the most impact on flipping the House starting right now. It's really that simple. Each of us has the power to change our country and save our democracy and save voting rights, but only if we do the work to take back the House. So don't just vote this year. Volunteer. Join the grassroots movement that's making change in this year's midterm elections. Sign up now at swingleft.org/hellbent. Hellions, you are making the difference.
Okay, Devin, what's been going on with voting rights across the country and the GOP trying to suppress them?
Well, so I want to start with Georgia. And this is partly because I had the absolute pleasure of speaking with Stacey Abrams on Friday for my podcast with Emily's List candidate. She was talking about the kind of astonishing efforts by current Secretary of State Brian Kemp, who is running against Stacey Abrams for the governor of Georgia position. So Brian Kemp is a real piece of work. And under his stewardship as Secretary of State, Georgia has been subject to the most draconian voter suppression laws, I think, in modern times. I mean,
Yeah, I think since Jim Crow. This is like one of the worst since Jim Crow.
Yeah. And he's just been like systematically dismantling voting rights just before he even started running for governor. And so now that he's running for governor, while he is holding the Secretary of State position, he is in charge of running the election for governor. So if that sounds like a conflict of interest, congratulations, you have a fucking brain. And, you know, Stacey Abrams is calling for him to resign because, duh. And he's refusing to do it.
Of course he is, so, because Republicans never play fair.
Right, exactly. And so Georgia is a state that has been trying to make it difficult for specifically people of color in the state to vote. And one thing that he has done, so he implemented something called the perfect match, which means that on your voter registration, if one character is off, then your registration application is held. So, for example, if your address is 123 Main Street and it was put in one record as S, like Main ST, and in another record it was put in as Main STREET, it was spelled out, that doesn't match, and your application is then held.
Yeah. Because of course. Anyway, because you can obviously find to fuck over people.
Right, because obviously that is the most important part of registering to vote, is whether or not street is spelled out or abbreviated. And we're going to actually circle back to addresses, because that becomes very important in another state. So we're going to put a pin in that. But so right now, currently, the Secretary of State's office, run by Brian Kemp, who is also running for governor of Georgia, has held 53,000 applications that have these perfect match errors of some kind. And you know what's really interesting about that, Varsha, is 70% of those 53,000 are for African-American voters.
Wow. I wonder why he chose it like that. That's so weird. I wonder,
it's so weird. It's probably a coincidence, right?
That's a really high incidence rate. I mean, it is a coincidence, but it's a very specific type of coincidence. And obviously, it's a coincidence that's made possible since John Roberts fucked us over and gutted the Voting Rights Act. So basically, like, all of this shit that's happening with voting suppression, it goes back to John Roberts a few years ago saying, oh, racism is over. This Voting Rights Act is unconstitutional because, guys, racism is over. And basically, he gutted the portions of the Voting Rights Act that made it that said, basically, hey, these states that have a history of voting suppression, their voting laws have to be overlooked by the federal government, the Department of Justice, before they can run their elections. And John Roberts was like, that's unfair. And also racism is over. So it's doubly unfair. And since then, we've been fucked, because the GOP definitely doesn't think racism is over. They benefit from racism, and they specifically benefit from voting suppression, because if they suppress old people's votes, if they suppress people of color's votes, if they suppress students' votes, they get an edge on every single election in almost every single district and state, right? And especially in the southern states, if they're able to suppress the African American vote, they are able to win. This is the case.
Okay, I want to take a really quick detour before we continue talking about this, just because I think it is very important. So, like you said, John Roberts gutting the Voting Rights Act was sort of the impetus for a lot of this voter suppression effort by the GOP. And I just want to harken back to something that I said a couple weeks ago when we were talking endlessly about Kavanaugh and his confirmation and the hearings. I know. I'm sorry. I really want to keep his name out of my mouth. But I think I want to point out something that I said a couple weeks ago, and that we have centralized power so specifically with the court, so the Supreme Court, and that has created a systemic problem. So remember I said that there's a direct line between Roberts, Kennedy, and Kavanaugh, right? Mm-hmm. They all like clerked for each other and like, you know, lifted each other up and elevated each other. And so of 114 Supreme Court justices of all time, three of them are connected directly, and they are all white men. And I don't think that that is a coincidence. And it's not a coincidence that this direct line has resulted in something like gutting the Voting Rights Act, because it's by design. This is not an accident. And John Roberts is one piece of this larger puzzle. And, you know, I was talking to Sarah Kendzior a couple weeks ago for Crush the Midterms, that podcast. And, you know, she was talking about how so many things go into go into this climate of free and fair elections. And what she's really worried about is that it's a combination of what happened in 2016 and, you know, meddling in our elections and undermining our elections. And then also these, you know, more sinister institutional things like gutting the Voting Rights Act and using tactics that exclude people of color from voting rights. So, like you said, Varsha, this is widespread and they're obviously targeting people of color, especially in these southern states, because like you said, that's how they fucking win. So,
and it's
Georgia,
it's,
Texas.
Georgia, yeah. Texas, Alabama, Florida, because Florida, as people probably know, there's a really big ballot measure that's going to be voted on. It could probably pass that basically gives a bunch of reformed felons, a bunch of reformed convicts the right to vote because they fucking should have the right to vote. Like, I am an extremist when it comes to voting rights. I want everyone to fucking vote. I want the voting age to be lowered to 16. I want everyone in prison. I want everyone who has who's left the country, who's like working abroad but is still a U.S. citizen. I want everyone to fucking vote. I want it to be mandatory. I want it to like make people vote. But it's not just happening in the southern states. It's happening in any GOP state. And so North Dakota is the next example where Native Americans are a really, really big, really, really big group in North Dakota. And they're also a really big constituency of Heidi Heitkamp, who's running for Senate there. And she is one of the most she's one of the Senate candidates we have that is in the most trouble because it's a really close race there, right? And she took a really tough vote for us. She voted no on Kavanaugh when Joe fucking Manchin couldn't, but whatever. She needs Native Americans to vote. And also she's helped Native Americans and they just deserve to vote, even if they're going to vote for Republican. They deserve the right to vote, right? But what's happening in North Dakota is that the Supreme Court, again, motherfucking Supreme Court, declined to overturn North Dakota's controversial voter ID law, which basically said residents have to show identification with a current street address. Again, with the fucking addresses, right? And so basically that means a P.O. box doesn't qualify. I wonder who has a predominant, like, I wonder which group in North Dakota predominantly uses P.O. boxes because reservations don't really have specific street addresses. Native Americans. So this is a perfect way to fucking suppress the vote 21 fucking days away from the midterm because that's what they do. And it's the fucking worst. It is. And the reason I think this is the worst is because this is not like the only time Native Americans have been, their vote has been suppressed, right? So we always talk about African Americans when we talk about our history of vote suppression and our continued story of vote suppression. But Native Americans have been, we've been suppressing their vote for fucking centuries. We've been doing it since the beginning of time and we've been doing it since today. And it's fucking horrible and it's unacceptable. And the reason I really think it's unacceptable is the way that we simultaneously treat them like wards of the state, as independent citizens, but also as like incapable of making decisions. It's like all three grouped into one. And we do that for other, you know, people of other groups of people of color as well, but to lesser degrees in certain areas, right? And I feel like the way the law treats Native Americans is incredibly fucked up. And I know this because I wrote a paper on Native American water rights and its history. And so I only know this really about water and our reservation rights. But the way that Native Americans have been treated in other aspects of law is incredibly fucked up. And so this type of voter suppression is so despicable because it really, just like that one, I think it was a North Carolina Supreme Court and the way they described it about North Carolina's gerrymandering, they're doing this with surgical fucking precision, right? They know exactly how to target the most Democratic votes and to suppress them. So the GOP doesn't do anything by accident, right? So I know like on the show and like a bunch of other like people will talk about how Trump has no strategy. And that's fucking true. Trump has no idea what the fuck he's doing. But the GOP has had this strategy for decades and we can't let them get away with it. And that's why you should be electing Democratic secretaries of state, Democratic governors to make sure this doesn't like fucking continue.
Right. Well, because I mean, and I talk about this a lot. So a feature and a bug of voting in this country is that it's very decentralized and each state kind of gets to make their own rules on how, I mean, there are guidelines they have to adhere by, obviously, but for the most part, it's very, very decentralized, which means that the Secretary of State for each state is the one kind of running the show. And so when you get people, and again, this goes back to the gerrymandering strategy that the GOP pulled off so brilliantly in 2010, where they took over state legislatures while no one was looking and used the power in state legislatures to redistrict all to hell because it was a fucking census year. I mean, it was genius.
It really was, yeah. And I also just want to point out that, like, this isn't, like, restricted just to GOP states. Yes, the GOP does it specifically to be dicks. But, like, recently we had a primary in New York, right? And I have a couple of friends who are from New York, and they talk about how the New York voting system is actually bullshit, too. Like, they find a way to also suppress the most far-left voices and also, at times, the voices on the right. Like, every state has really shitty laws in certain respects, in certain times, right? We do not have a perfect voting system in any state. I mean, I'm a little biased. I think California's voting system is pretty awesome. But there are cases in California that I've read where people in LA who say they voted all the fucking time are no longer seen on their rolls. So it's fucked up across the country, right? Like, in Ohio, people are just purging voters left to fucking right. So make sure that if you elect – if you're in Ohio this year, please elect a Democratic Secretary of State. I know there's one running. I forget her name, but I know she's running. And I know she promised that she will stop these voter purges. These voter purges, which were defended at the motherfucking Supreme Court. So make sure to consistently figure out who your Secretary of State is, figure out their policies, and next time they're up for re-election, make sure you're voting for a Democrat, or at the very least, make sure you're voting for someone that reflects your values on voting rights, because that is the most important thing that they do.
And I'm sorry I keep talking about all of this, but I also spoke to Jason Kander for Crush the Midterm.
No, keep talking about it, because Kander is amazing.
He's amazing. And he founded Let America Vote, and which basically mobilizes people. He calls it Big Vote. He created Big Voter, like Big Pharma. Mm-hmm. And basically mobilized. I know. He is the most charming human I've spoken to in a long time. He was talking about how what Let America Vote does is it's not even just about candidates who are running specifically on voter protections and protecting our democracy. But he gave the example, Let America Vote turned out for Danica Rome running in Virginia. And she was running on a platform that had nothing to do with voting rights, except for the fact that she was very firm on protecting the right to vote. And so, you know, all these volunteers in Let America Vote gear went to go canvass for Danica Rome. And just like having that this is always under the surface, that voting rights is always important. And if you're bad on voting rights, groups like Let America Vote are going to mobilize against you. And then people are going to win because you're bad on voting rights. And so it's definitely you don't have to run specifically on protecting voter rights to be, you know, to be a candidate that will protect your voting rights, if that makes sense. I know it's a little bit confusing.
No, it does, because I feel like as long as you are making clear somewhere in your platform that you think the right to vote is what I just said, a right, not a privilege, you should have the support of people who believe that as well, right? Or at the very least, you should, people who believe that should be paying attention to you. And you should make that very clear, because I understand that it's very, like, very savvy today to be like, oh, do we have an economic message? Do we have a message to address globalization? Do we have a message to address inequality? And yes, all those economic issues are important, but fundamentally what you're running for is an office, right? And the way you get to that office is by voting, right? You get people to vote for you. So voting rights should be fundamental to your platform. And I don't mean fundamental like it's the only thing you talk about, just like Devin just said. I just mean it should be one thing that is listed on there, because that is the only way we can trust that you are paying attention to all of the issues, right? And so people, And so, like, even though it's not something you talk about every day, it's something that you know matters even a little bit, right? So Yeah, especially when it's happening so blatantly.
So blatantly. Well, and then I want to kind of loop back around to Native American voting rights, because I think there's also another little story buried in here. So we talked a little bit about Heidkamp and how, you know, she won a very – she's a Democrat in one of the reddest states in the country. Mm-hmm. And she won by a margin of about 3,000 votes. And it was largely due to the Native American population in her state. And so obviously this is very important for her and, you know, just for voting rights in general. But I also want to kind of talk about another person who won because of Native Americans that is not as obvious. So Lisa Murkowski, who's a Republican from Alaska, was primaried out of her seat and then won in a write-in campaign. And she won largely due to the Native American population and indigenous people in Alaska. And if you notice, she didn't vote no on Kavanaugh. She voted present because, you know, she's kind of a coward. But but Mazie Hirono brought up Kavanaugh's judicial record on Native American rights. And she knew that that was a huge part of her constituent base and who got her elected. And so I think that piece of it is important to look at, not just, you know, when narrowly looking at like Heidkamp, for example, but someone like Murkowski, who has a vested interest in also keeping Native Americans' voting rights intact, and realizing that I'm not saying that the GOP and Republicans are, you know, who we should be voting for. But I think if you keep your eye on Murkowski, and if this becomes an issue, she's going to be important to this fight as well.
Yeah, because I feel like that's basically what I want to say when it comes to the midterms. Don't take anything for granted, right? And so there are some Native Americans who are voting for Republicans. There are some Native Americans who are voting for Democrats. But all Native Americans across the country are under the threat of having their voting rights suppressed, right? Some African Americans, it's the same thing. They could be voting for Democrats. They could be voting for Republicans. There was a really...
It doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah, it doesn't fucking
matter.
It's all about protecting the right to vote, no matter who the fuck is voting for who, right? And that's what's so frustrating about the GOP today, is that literally Taylor Swift getting on the fucking stage and asking people to register to vote is seen as some sort of partisan thing. What the fuck, right? And so...
Well, and she spiked votes. I mean, like, look, I think, you know, we've talked about Taylor Swift, but I mean, she got young people to get off their butts and register to vote.
And for some reason, that scares the GOP. And I know it scares the GOP because they think all those voters must be Democrats. And maybe a big portion are, but maybe they aren't. You don't fucking know. Like, so why don't you just get off your ass, GOP, and just fucking canvass young people, right? So like, why do you continue to propose policies that are inimical to anybody wanting to support them, basically, right? Like, why do you continue to create policies where you are seen as liars, as the assholes? Like, if you don't want to be the assholes of history, if you want to win fair and square, fucking win fair and square. But they can't. They can only do it by acting in bad faith and literally they're basically what this is other forms of poll taxes, right? And poll taxes are fucking unconstitutional, but we don't have a Supreme Court that's going to support that. So what we need is one for people who aren't having their vote suppressed, literally like white allies. This is the one time I'm going to call on white allies, okay? White allies, like, I need you to like get off your asses. Like, you need to pay attention to these stories and go, okay, so it seems like my neighbor who's African American might have their voting rights suppressed. So I need to go out there and fucking vote, right? So this is like, this is the time for you to shine.
This is the time
for you to shine.
Well, and it is. It's like poll taxes, because honestly, when you say things like you must have an ID, IDs aren't free.
They're not.
IDs aren't free. You know, a lot of these things, it's so much more complicated than just having a street address. It can be so much. What if you're homeless?
Yeah, it's actually.
What if you're transitioning? Like out of one home to another. What if you've changed addresses? I mean, like, it is absolutely bullshit to not call this a poll tax, because that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Because you can even dial it down to economics if you want to. You know, it's so much more than just trying to suppress specific people from voting. It's creating a system in which elections are not free and fair. And again, I spoke to Sarah Kendzior, and I was, you know, talking to her, and And her biggest concern is that elections are not free and fair. And she said one of the things that made her most uncomfortable is the fact that Republicans don't seem that worried about losing elections because they know they've set the system up to benefit them.
Exactly.
And she said that the one thing that could really combat this is turnout. Because when people vote, Dems win.
And that's just the fundamental thing to remember is that you have to see your vote this November as doing one of two things. Canceling out the vote of that Republican who's voting for George Kemp or voting for Ted Cruz or whoever you're voting for. And also your vote is also protecting the rights of an African-American person, of a Native American person, or a Latino in Arizona or in Texas, their right to vote. Because you are hopefully helping to elect a Democrat who believes that voting rights are essential to protect and fundamental, right? And I feel like that's like the bigger picture here is that eventually when we do get a Democratic Congress, eventually when we do have a Democratic Senate and we do have a Democratic president, the first fucking law we should be passing is a National Voting Rights Act, a new Voting Rights Act, one that John Roberts can't fucking fuck with. And even if they do try to fuck with it, we pass another one. Just keep fucking passing them until John Roberts is like, fine, I give up. Racism does exist. And then we have voting rights for everyone, okay? Like, that's basically what your dream should be, voting rights for everyone. And that's why you should be voting this November. That's why you vote the November after that and the November after that. Every fucking November, vote.
All right, Varsha. So I want to talk about Elizabeth Warren. And Elizabeth Warren did something weird this week. And I know that you have really like solidly formed opinions on this. So what happened with Elizabeth Warren and what the fuck is going on?
So Elizabeth Warren has been under attack by Donald Trump for a long time now. Basically, he calls her Pocahontas, right? And it's fucking disgusting. But the reason he does that is because she claimed very distant Native American heritage in the past when she ran for office, and I think mainly when she applied for her job, right? When she applied to become a professor, right? She claimed Native American heritage. And everyone was like, she's a fucking liar. And she was like, no, I'm not. This is what my parents told me, right? And so before this DNA test thing happened, I was like, okay, I understand where she's coming from, right? Her parents told her the story, and she's not saying that she's going to do it to claim tribal benefits. And also the Boston Globe published a story that saying that she was really, really tiny part Native American on her application didn't help her get the job at Harvard, right? That's what the Boston Globe found. They talked to everybody on the committee. They talked to so many people who made the decision to hire her. It wasn't a factor, right? But then Donald Trump says a while ago, if she proves it with a DNA test, I will donate $1 million to any charity, right? And a while ago, Elizabeth Warren was basically saying, no, fuck that. I don't have to prove anything, because she was like, this is not relevant to anything. And I was like, yeah, it's not relevant to anything. Just keep helping Native Americans and keep, anytime he says Pocahontas, just point to how Native Americans have so many things that we should be helping them with when it comes to employment, when it comes to sexual violence, when it comes to healthcare. There are so many things we should be focusing on Native Americans with, and we don't really fucking care if you were part Native American 5 generations ago, right? I didn't fucking care, right? I thought it was a mistake for her to claim it way back when she did. And I think it's a mistake for her to continue talking about it, right? But then she does the fucking DNA test, right? And all hell breaks loose because, one, Donald Trump is like, I don't believe it unless I get to perform the DNA test, which is gross and creepy. And let's move on from that. But then the Cherokee Nations.
Hold on. I also just want to say one more thing about what Trump said, because he said, I never said I would donate money if she did the DNA test. He literally said the words that he
fucking lied.
Again, this is not the point of this story, but I do want to point out, and I do not want to normalize the fact that he said something in direct contradiction and people fucking believe him. He said the words, I never said that. He's on camera saying it. It is not a disputable fact or an opinion. Yeah. This is not, I heard him say this once in a meeting and I'm telling you this on background. He was at a campaign rally, said it on camera. I'm sorry. Yeah. That just, it is, the whole thing is horrible. But that to me is also just playing into this idea of Trump being allowed to control this narrative. Yeah. But please,
so basically, so the real issue with this is that the Cherokee Nation Secretary of State, Chuck Hoskin Jr., released an intense statement on Monday in response to this test, because this test showed that Warren might have been 164th or 1/1024th Native American. So for all your math geeks out there, it's very small. It's very fucking small, right?
Very
fucking
small.
So basically, he releases a statement, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he basically said, a DNA test is useless to determine tribal citizenship. Using a DNA test to lay claim to any connection to the Cherokee Nation or any tribal nation, even vaguely, is inappropriate and wrong. Senator Warren is undermining tribal interests with her continued claims of tribal heritage. So, one nuanced take here before I get angry. I understand where Warren is coming from, right? At least in her head, and she didn't take into account how people of color, specifically Native Americans, would feel about this, but in her head, she is being called a liar almost every day by the president of the United States, right? Racist people are attacking her and also attacking Native Americans in the same breath by calling her Pocahontas every fucking day. And so she was like, enough, right? And then she did this DNA test. Mm-hmm. And I don't agree with the DNA test at all. And I would not have done it. What I would have done if I was fucking Senator Warren, I would have said, hey, my parents told me the story. They might have lied. I apologize if I've ever used it to benefit me in any way. But what I wanted to focus on is helping Native American tribes today. That's it. That's what I would have done. But again, Elizabeth Warren is not me. I'm amazing. Okay. So instead, she takes this DNA test, and she should have fucking known. Just call the fucking Cherokee Nation. She should have fucking known this was a big no-no. They would have told her, hey, the way you lay claim to being a part of a tribe is doing work and proving that you can help and belong to the tribe. You don't just take a DNA test. Right? It's like if I took a fucking DNA test, and this doesn't make sense for me, but if I took a DNA test and like 16 generations ago it said I was part African American. Like, what the fuck? That doesn't mean shit. That means nothing. Right? Especially when it comes to the Native American case, it means nothing. Because one, you could have a case of where like one person is Native American in your family because of like rape, or you could have a Native American in your family because of something else, but whatever reason, it doesn't mean that you became a part of that tribe. It doesn't mean way back then the tribe accepted your family. It doesn't mean the tribe has to affect you it doesn't mean the tribe has to accept you today, right? It's different today to be a part of a tribe. You have to put in the work. It's not something you just claim to in your ethnicity. It actually isn't a blood thing. Like, I think for them, it's partly blood, but it's also the work you put in, right? And so obviously, Warren, what she should say now is that I'm not claiming, you know, that I have a right to be in the Cherokee Nation. I'm just claiming that my parents weren't fucking lying when they told me the story. But she made a big mess of it, right? And the reason I'm like a little worked up about this, and here's my angry take. My angry take is that she took advantage of Native American support. She took it for granted, right? She took it for granted. And I don't like that. I think it's horrible that you take a group for granted, that they are going to support you through this because you're helping them raise money for some charity, because the charity that she wanted Trump to donate to helps Native Americans, right? And I think it's really fucking stupid, right? But another, going back to my nuanced take, like, I have a friend who's like, oh, like a hardcore leftist. And he was like, haha, this makes Elizabeth Warren look so bad. And in turn, Democrats look really stupid. And I'm like, okay, like, this shouldn't reflect poorly on the whole Democratic Party. But if another...
No, but it makes Elizabeth Warren look pretty fucking bad.
It does. It really does. And that's what bothers me. She took for granted that Native Americans would be okay with this. She took for granted that separate reservations would be okay with this. She took for granted that this would mean Donald Trump would give up anything. That's also a really stupid idea to think that, oh, because she has a DNA test now, Donald Trump is going to like forget everything and just cave. He never fucking caves. He finds ways to lie and sneak out of everything, because he literally tweeted yesterday, or this morning actually, thank you to the Cherokee Nation for revealing that Elizabeth Warren, comma, sometimes referred to as Pocahontas, is a complete and total fraud. That is the whole tweet. He literally put in a racial slur in the fucking tweet thanking the Cherokee Nation for calling Elizabeth Warren a liar. So, like, so my cynical take is Elizabeth Warren did this because she's fucking running for president. And I'm like, okay, fine. You want to run for president?
Well, no, that, go ahead. No, that's not cynical, though. That's exactly why she did it. And this brings up what I think is also an like what I don't understand about this is, well, first of all, why she did this. What purpose did this serve except to kick up a whole bunch of bullshit? And what was the timing? Like, what was her thought process on timing of this? Because we have 21 days until midterm elections, and she decides she wants to soak up some of the news cycle with some bullshit DNA test because Trump's calling her a liar. Trump calls everyone a liar. Trump attacks everyone. Like, get the fuck over it. I understand that you feel you don't deserve this sort of like abuse, and you probably don't, but get over it. Like, there's something bigger going on here, Elizabeth Warren. Like, I like you, but this is bullshit. Yeah.
This is bullshit. Because, like, it's also bullshit because she has now given the quote-unquote far left or leftists, or as I hatingly call them, Bernie bros, like, another excuse to fucking be like, oh, I can't vote for that woman. Right. Even though there is no daylight between her and Bernie Sanders when she and Bernie Sanders inevitably run for president, both of them. Right. And also, I just want to be clear, like Elizabeth Warren basically said, she said a while ago, oh, no, I'm not running for president. And then she said a while later than that, if I end up winning in 2018, like after November 6th, November 7th, I'll think about running for president. It's not November 7th yet, Elizabeth Warren. What are you doing? Fix your clock. Yeah. OK. Yeah. November 7th is 3 weeks from now.
Exactly. And exactly. And she's just giving people reasons to dislike her, including people like me who really fucking like her. And it's just the timing, the thought process makes no sense to me. And like you said, Varsha, she is taking advantage of people of color who support her and the Democratic Party. She's taking them for granted. And we cannot fucking do that because the base of the Democratic Party is people of color and women. Don't fuck with them.
Fuck with them. It really is. It's so dumb. Oh my God. It's like what she could have done instead is like, because she's doing these other amazing things, which is basically cue for her to be running for president. She has basically like gotten, he's paying attention to a bunch of down ballot races across the country. She's gotten support from them and she's supporting them, right? And she's doing other amazing things to help build up the bench. And she's done some shitty things in the past that I totally disagree with, telling Obama that he shouldn't be making money off of speaking fees now that he's no longer president, right? But, like, that's all stuff that she has to do to gain the quote-unquote street cred to win the people on the far left, people in the center left, and people who are a little bit moderate. She's done it all, right? This thing was just fucking stupid because, one, you can't win Donald Trump. You can't beat Donald Trump in a press war. It just doesn't work. He finds ways to lie out of it. So thinking that this was an easy out is dumb. Two, the video itself and the process that you did this by, the DNA test, the video, all of this was obviously self-serving. It would have been so much easier for you to get your self-serving needs if you just fucking called the Cherokee Nation or other Native American tribal groups and asked them, hey, what the fuck should I do to get Donald Trump to stop calling me Pocahontas, right? Because I'm sure it offends you too. And then three, this is just another, like, I don't like that I'm blaming her for this, but this is another reason people are gonna be like, oh, women shouldn't run for president. This is another reason. I don't want to blame her for this because she's done something that any other man could have also fucked up, right? Like, this is not just like she didn't fuck up because she's a woman. I'm not saying that at all, obviously. But this, because women are held to a higher standard in this bullshit political system that we have, she has given them another reason to be mean to her. And it fucking sucks. It fucking sucks. And
well, the think piece is about Elizabeth Warren have already started and why she doesn't have the temperament for president, should be president, which, okay, Jan. Sure, Jan.
Like, this is my thing. And so I think the only way, like, if she runs for president, which basically she is, the only way I'm voting for her in a primary in 2020 is if she has apologized for this. Apologized to the Cherokee Nation. I don't need a big public apology to everyone, right? Just call them and tell them that you apologize and that you are making it very clear that you did this test not to claim any heritage in terms like of Native American heritage to the Cherokee Nation or to other tribal groups, but that you only did this to prove that your parents weren't lying, right? And then you listen to them when they tell you it was still a fucked up thing to do. You don't make excuses. You listen to them. Okay, Devin, who's a dickwad for the week?
Okay, so like I said, I believe last week, we just have an embarrassment of people like that we could make dickwad. And I think what Varsha and I wanted to do is use this segment to talk about what is going on with healthcare. Mm-hmm. So I talked about on Thursday before my interview with Latasha DeMaze, I talked about this little story about how the Trump administration is scheduling maintenance on the website to sign up for healthcare on Sunday mornings, and how it is just a blatant attempt to make it more difficult to sign up for ACA and obtain healthcare. And the other thing that Republicans are doing is now just straight up lying about healthcare.
Of course.
So, yes. So basically they're saying that that Republicans are strong on healthcare and that they want affordable healthcare.
Yeah. And they want to protect pre-existing conditions.
Right. Right. And they want to protect pre-existing conditions, which is, we know, just not
they really
true.
Don't.
Tons of Republicans are now trying to say that, oh, no, we believe in healthcare and we want to protect you and we want to keep you on your plan. You know, we want to let you stay on your plan until you're 26 or stay on your parents' plan until you're 26. And we want to make sure that even if you have a pre-existing condition, you can get healthcare. And it's just a lie. I mean, these candidates that are running these ads and who are now talking about this have voted multiple times to get rid of protections for pre-existing conditions. Gretchen Whitmer had a fantastic tweet this morning. Her opponent, Bill Shute, said, quote, "Michigan families deserve affordable, accessible health care that covers pre-existing conditions, lets children stay on their parents' plan until age 26, and protects your ability to pick your own doctor. Learn more about my plan." And Gretchen Whitmer said, "There's a name for that bill. It's called the Affordable Care Act, and you filed 9 lawsuits attacking it." So obviously, this is just one big, like, double-thinky lie.
It's fucking annoying because basically, so like, as we speak, right? So like last night, Marsha Blackburn, who's running against Bredesen in Tennessee, was like, "I love pre-existing conditions," and nobody pointed out that she fucking voted for the AHCA, which gutted pre-existing conditions, right? And 20 Republican state attorneys general have filed a lawsuit, one of the dumbest lawsuits I've ever read. Basically, it says that since the individual mandate was repealed in the tax bill, what Congress really wanted to do was repeal the whole ACA. So we're asking you, the Supreme Court, to legislate from the bench, which we as Republicans say we don't like when courts legislate from the bench. But we're going to ask you to legislate from the bench and repeal the ACA and call it unconstitutional because that one individual mandate thing is gone. And so like certain judges like Gorsuch and Kavanaugh are probably gonna be like, "Fuck yeah, let's do it."
The problem is that it's just there's so much noise, and there's so much going on. And when we have a president who just lies by matter of course, and it's almost not even about what is true. It's never been about what is true. And it's not about political spin anymore or, you know, sort of campaign promises or flowery language to describe a shitty decision. It's just straight up lying.
I mean, like, for another example, Josh Hawley, the Missouri Attorney General, is part of the fucking lawsuit against Obamacare's regulation of insurers. But again, in his campaign against Claire McCaskill, he's like, hey, I fucking love pre-existing conditions. He's just fucking lying.
Right. And so I think, especially in this run-up, and we're so close to the midterm elections, it can be so hard to parse out what's going on. And again, I kind of want to, like, you know, tack on a little story here. Washington Post spoke with Nate Silver, the head of 538, and who, you know, makes statistical models to predict outcomes of elections. And basically what he said was, the media does not cover statistical analysis well. And people kind of run away with the first number they hear. There's so much noise. And we're being lied to so regularly that it can become very difficult to even understand what the issues are and where people stand on them. And I mean, this is done intentionally because we know exactly where Republicans stand on healthcare. We know exactly where they stand on pre-existing conditions. You can look up their voting record. You can see what they've done to get rid of healthcare for citizens. But most people aren't going to go and look up their voting record. And they go by what they're being told. And because of that, we have no consequences for lying anymore. I mean, there used to be consequences for political spin. You'd get called out on it. But there's not even that. There's nobody points out when you're lying anymore. Or if they do, it's almost like, oh, well, the fake news media is lying. You know, I hate when we give dickwad to like the entire Republican Party, but I'll go ahead and just zoom it in then on Bill Shute, who's running against Gretchen Whitmer for governor of Michigan, and say the blatant lies are truly, truly terrifying. And I hope that we start to repair and heal from the culture of lies that has been propped up by Trump and Trump's Republican Party.
I mean, even if we don't, I hope at the very least we elect people like Gretchen Whitmer who won't lie to us about what she wants when it comes to healthcare, right? Like, I can live with the GOP basically saying, hey, I'm for a fiscally conservative healthcare plan, which basically means, like, fuck poor people. But at least, like, they're being honest about it, right? Like, at least before this, they were basically being honest. But now, they're just lying, and they're acting in good faith. And I agree with you, Devin. I think it has to end. And if it doesn't end, at least let's elect the non-liars.
Okay, Varsha, so last but not least, what are some action items or something Hellions can do after they listen to the show?
Okay, well, the first thing everyone probably already knows is that you can register to vote, because you should really register to vote. Obviously, the only way we're going to combat a lot of the shit that we talked about today in today's episode, such as the attacks on healthcare, the attacks on voting rights, the attacks on Native American groups by people in our own fucking party, is by electing Democrats who are not jerks, right? Who are not lying to you about policy, who are not corrupt, who are not trying to make a quick buck when it comes to working in government. Like, apparently Jared Kushner hasn't paid taxes in decades, right? You want to vote for candidates that actually, like, support you. And the first way to do that is to register to vote. And then once you're registered, on the day, on November 6th, you can actually vote. Or if you're in California, you can vote by mail, right? So there are so many ways to register to vote. You can go to vote.org. You can do it in person. You can do it online. But you could also just go to hellbentmedia.com/action and register right there, because we're awesome, right? So register to vote. Make sure that you are registered. If you have already registered just today, like, double check your registration, right? Just in case, right? Because the deadline for California is October 22nd. So if you just want to double check, right? Just in case something stupid happens and your first registration didn't go through or something, you want to double check. And then once you're registered to vote, make sure that your friends are registered. Ask your family to register. Even if your family, like, votes for Donald Trump or something, just make sure they're registered to vote. Maybe, like, tell them, like, they should vote for a Democrat, but still, make sure they're registered to vote. Everyone should vote in 2018. We should no longer be the party that stays home during the midterms. So please vote. And yeah, there are other action items you can do, but definitely register to vote. Anything else, Devin?
Yes. So, you know, we talked a lot about voting rights, and you one of my favorite tools to use when trying to understand. I mean, we didn't talk a lot about, well, I did talk about how, you know, voting is very decentralized. It's a feature and a bug, and each state has its own policies on voting rights and the implementation of voting rights. So ourstates.org is a fantastic tool where you can really look and drill down on the legislation that's being proposed and passed in your state. And they have all sorts of different categories that you can look at. And one of them is voting rights. So if you go to ourstates.org and click on voting rights, you can see which states have passed laws to either make it more difficult or easier to vote. So for example, Washington passed and signed automatic voter registration. And Utah, you know, they passed and signed a vote that allows election officers to shorten the early voting period in certain circumstances. So you can go and see what's being proposed. You can go and see what's being done. And it's just a fabulous tool to find out what's going on in your state legislatively. So definitely go check it out and look and see what your state is doing and call your local elected officials. A lot of them are also up for re-election and you can vote them out if they are doing something that you don't like. So again, I think ultimately what's going to the next several action items are going to be inform yourself, know what's going on, and make sure you know which candidates are voting for what. That's it. So, okay, Varsha, that is it for us today. I am so happy to have you back, and I'm just so excited and proud that you presented a paper at a conference in Vienna. It's so badass.
Yeah. Also, Vienna, guys, great city. Great city. Love great it. City. I really do, because it's so old, and I fucking love old cities. This is why I love Europe. It's like, you think America is old when you go to, like, Boston or New York or even, like, certain places in Berkeley. But then you go to, like, Europe, and you're like, holy shit. It's fucking old. It's awesome.
Yeah. So, all right, Hellions, have a great week. Remember to raise some hell and practice some compassion. Hellbent Podcast is a production of Hellbent Media. It is produced by me, Devin Handy.
And Varsha Venkata Subramanian.
We get editing help from Andrew Walsh. And we, of course, take input from co-creator Sarah Lerner.
You can follow us on social media at Hellbent Pod on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook.
And you can join our Facebook group, Dickwads Be Gone, at facebook.com/groups/dickwadsbegone.
You can follow me on Twitter at @Varsha_Venkat.
And you can follow me at Devin Handy. Also, remember to subscribe and rate us on iTunes and rate us 5 stars because that's just the rules of feminism. Tune in every Monday and Thursday for an intersectional feminist look and the centering of women's voices and people of color. We look at current events, public policy, and upcoming elections to give you the most incisive look into stories that don't get covered elsewhere. Thank you.